This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi there. It's Mark McConville, and you're about to hear a special preview from Mascots, my new premium exclusive show about mascots. I'm going to sit down with a bunch of people, one at a time, not all at once. That would be a great idea for a show, but really, these are one-on-one chats about mascots. And look, I'm releasing this first episode for free. If you want to check out the rest, sign up for Stitcher Premium at stitcherpremium.com and use the promo code MASCOT for a free month of premium listening. Again, the promo code is MASCOT, M-A-S-C-O-T. You'll get ad-free listening in Stitcher, access to all of the episodes, and you'll be supporting mascots too. Again, that's stitcherpremium.com, promo code MASCOTS. Hope you enjoy the episode. Let's go! Well, folks, welcome. This is Mascots, and my guest today is none other than my pal, Paul F. Tompkins.
It's me!
Paul, how are you?
Rah, 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 Mascots.
Before we get into Mascots, yes. Paul, I'm going to start every episode.
I feel bad that I said Mascots already.
It's fine. I'm going to start every episode with 5 minutes of chit-chat.
Mark, I endorse your scheme.
Yeah, an old buddy of mine, he used to teach theater stuff, and he just went, let's get all the chit-chat out of the way. Before we get into the business.
Is that how he said it?
What would he say? It's like, all right, everybody chit-chat, I think. Yeah, something like that. It was definitely chit-chat.
What a strange command.
Yep.
All right, let's do small talk.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How are you?
You guys clearly just saw a movie, so.
But wait, would it always be like he'd be mad about?
I think the inevitability of like a comedy group getting together is people haven't seen each other in a while and they want to catch up.
Which, I mean, here's the thing. I like the idea of recognizing that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is part of it.
I'm building this in.
Yeah.
Five minutes of chit chat.
But if you're building it in, don't be fed up about it already.
Right.
I'm allowing you to do this. Go ahead. I hate it. That's what it is. Is that he's saying, I hate this, but I know you're going to do it. So go ahead and do it, the thing that I hate.
Right.
I'll wait till you're done. Would he participate in the chit-chat?
Yes. Sometimes he would. But he was really trying to teach, you know, space work or character stuff at an improv thing.
Oh, are you going to fill up a whole hour with that? Come on.
I mean, I guess.
You holding on like this, not like this.
If you're throwing a ball, I need to see it leave your hand.
Wait, how would people throw it where it didn't?
I mean, people will just do half-ass. I mean, I guess like we're getting into mime territory there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Mimes are almost mascots.
You don't know the half of it.
Right? Like Shields and Yarnell?
Yeah. Oh, come on.
That was a TV show when I was a kid.
If people don't know, let's talk about Shields and Yarnell for a while.
They were a husband and wife mime team.
On national television.
They had guested on a bunch of things, and then they had a summer replacement series. That was a show of their own where they did a bunch of mime sketches. And it's so hazy in my mind. I guess they had guests on the show, but they would do I loved them. And so they would do the clinkers, which was them doing like robotic movements.
Yes.
And then at the other thing I remember is at the very end of the episode, they would be together in a big bed with a bunch of stuffed animals and they would say goodnight to the audience.
And why were they talking if they were mimes?
I think because it's like you can't have a completely silent show
you
with
sure
just
can.
Like, you know, a trumpet with a mute on it for an entire.
They have a great one. The great, my favorite Shields and Yarnell thing is the breakfast.
Where the wife is serving the husband breakfast.
Which I have to look up because I don't remember that bit. But it was a Clinkers, right?
It's a Clinkers. A
classic Clinkers.
And I think because of the robotic movements and sort of their eyes are wide open. And
they both had gigantic round eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're pushing it when they're doing the Clinkers. It's just her, you know, pouring milk in his cereal, but not looking.
Right.
Maybe that's the whole part of the Clinkers that's important, is that they don't really look at what they're doing.
They're just weird
automatons.
They're
knocking stuff over, and they go to sit in a chair, and it's not there. It's dumb.
I got to look at some of this stuff now. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
It's a trip. Go ahead and check out Shields and Yarnell.
The other one I remember from being a kid was Mumenschanz.
Oh, sure.
Which
terrifying.
Were they German? They were guys in black leotards, and they would put various things on their heads. Always black leotard, but they would have different head pieces. Sometimes it would be, the most famous thing was they had pads of paper where they would draw expressions.
Yeah.
You know, and as a kid, I found them scary. I found them spooky, but also extremely compelling.
I feel like they might've been on Sesame Street or Electric Company or some sort of children's show that I saw. And I remember being terrified of it.
That makes sense.
Like two rolls of
Maybe
toilet
the
paper.
Muppet Show.
Oh, it could have been that.
Maybe the Muppet Show.
But I remember two rolls of toilet paper as eyes, and they would spin the toilet paper like kitty cats, mm-hmm. and the paper would go everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was scary.
Because
weird. There's nothing. You've never seen anything
weird.
Like it.
Yeah, and you're a kid, and they're silent, and they're just doing – they're moving in a weird, spidery way and doing these strange things, and it is kind of unsettling.
Ugh.
But they were very popular. So weird. When there were three channels.
Yeah.
And they were on TV a lot.
Oh, yeah. I never really thought about the three channels thing as the ultimate barrier to anyone seeing anything.
Yeah.
Like, how did they get through?
This is the stuff that got on. It was wild.
Shields and Yarnell got through.
Yeah. They had a TV show that ran for two seasons.
Holy smokes. Well, this concludes 5 minutes of chit-chat.
Are you done? Is that, would he say that at the end of the chit chat?
I think he'd be like,
segment?
That's 5 minutes. Let's get ready for
God, this guy.
Now I'm like, I feel like I'm fictionalizing this as I'm remembering it, but isn't that the nature of memory?
Really? He was just spineless and we railroaded him. We just steamrolled him and we talked for as long as we wanted.
Let's see if we can push the 5 minutes to seven. All right.
Paul, all right.
It's time for mascot news.
Can I say, before you start, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm fascinated by mascots. It's such a crazy thing to me that they're still around.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's really wild. And I'm also very interested in the degrees of success of mascots.
Yeah.
And what makes a successful mascot.
Well, let's get into this mascot news and see if this is the headline. It's not really news because it happened in October of 2018. Mm-hmm. But the Utah Jazz Bear mascot, actor John Absey, has been fired after 24 years. I'm going to turn my laptop, Paul, so you can see a picture of the Utah Jazz Bear.
This mascot costume is on the line for me because...
A little too real?
A little too real, but here's what I don't like. It's like the Sixers have a mascot. So the Philadelphia 76ers have a mascot,
mm-hmm.
which is... I forget what he is.
Oh, we'll get to it.
But I don't like that style. It's too collegiate for me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just like clearly they're just a dude in a suit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like when it's a little more amorphous, like, what is this creature kind mm-hmm. of mascot? But this one, a bear, is like, he's
a pretty realistic looking bear, too.
Bears stand upright, you know, like, I'll allow it, but watch yourself, counselor.
John Absey's been fired. He had a rift with the staff. The Jazz declined to comment on Absey specifically, but they confirmed in a statement that Jazz Bear will continue to be the team's mascot. So some other sap is going to have to wear this heavy, furry bear suit.
Right.
The 50-year-old Absey won 2017-2018's Mascot of the Year Award as Jazz Bear, marking the fifth time he garnered the honor in his career.
Really?
Also, it's been inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Well, he has. He worked more than 800 games.
Wow. So the Mascot Hall of Fame is the person inside the suit, not necessarily the mascot itself.
I guess so. But can you believe that? He had a rift with them and they were just like, you're out.
And they wouldn't.
What could that rift be?
No.
If it's not pay.
Right.
Or working conditions, right. What is it?
Maybe he thought he should be more of a part of the game.
More, yeah. Because I do think this is part of the problem with, you know, mascots and how long they've been around and how have they lasted this long.
Yeah.
He goes out. How many times is he going to go out during a basketball game? TV timeouts?
Right.
Probably not halftime, because now at halftime they do, you know, there's a lady who rides a unicycle and kicks cups and saucers up and on onto her head. There's the lady that changes clothes real fast. There's
the lady that changes clothes real fast.
Oh, Paul, we got to go to some games because there's a, well, do you know, there's an acrobat. I don't know her name, but she rides a unicycle and then is balancing, you know, sort of.
And she and then kicks cups and saucers on her head. This I get.
She'll balance and she'll stack them.
Sure. Of course you will. Do or do not. There's no try.
Right.
But the other lady changes her clothes real fast.
It's like theater quick changes in front of everybody, and it's a lot of like a hula hoop with a curtain around it, and she'll lift it up and drop it, and she's wearing a new thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then she'll lift it up somehow and throw it off, and then she'll have a different thing on. And all I can think about when I see this woman is she's got to be wearing 9 different outfits at once, and she's just peeling them off.
Goes in, she's real fat, and then by the end, she's real skinny.
She loses weight during the act.
That's how hard she's working.
What do you think John's going to do? Now that he's been fired 24 years as...
I guess what happens is for the person inside the suit, I guess you come to believe, and rightfully so, that you are the reason for the mascot's success, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it does not matter because most people don't know you're in that suit. I love the Philly Fanatic. Grew up with the Philly Fanatic. I'm older than the Philly Fanatic. I don't remember that. I used to know the name of the guy inside the suit because I've heard it before.
Yep.
The guy who started it.
Yep.
And he did it for years and years. Mm-hmm. Don't remember his name right now.
We'll get to that.
Certainly
too.
Don't know who's in the suit right now. I think it's multiple people.
It must be.
So that's, people don't care.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like you're, that, you're in a mask.
You're absolutely,
no one knows who you are.
You're absolutely replaceable. Absolutely. Yeah.
The most replaceable.
Yeah. And of course you rightfully come to think I'm the person imbuing this creature with all the things that people love about it. I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's me. I did that.
Yeah.
I'm not just like walking around and like throwing a bucket of confetti on people, making them think I was going to dump water on them. Like I got my bits. I got all this stuff.
Yeah.
I put real heart and character into this. And at a certain point, I guess you just believe I'm irreplaceable.
You think John got too old? 24 years.
I mean, that's a very long time for a physical job.
Yeah. And it's pretty, well, I say it's pretty physical, but how long is a jazz basketball game? 2.5 hours, 3 hours?
That I don't know.
Though I think you're also probably doing public relations stuff, like going out in the community and doing photo ops and that kind of thing. So,
right. You
know, maybe there's a rift there. Or he only wanted to do game stuff and he didn't want to go out in the public, or vice versa.
There was somebody, I remember hearing about this. It was somebody who worked for Disney, I think. I can't remember the exact story, but it was the same situation where they're like, yeah, I don't want to do those things. And they're like, no,
will.
I think it was somebody who didn't want their character showing up at things. And it's like, you have no say in this. And absolutely, we're going to have this character do whatever the fuck we want it to do.
Well, folks, that concludes Mascot News.
I'm glad I could bring that vague story to light.
Now, you're the first guest for the show, so if these titles aren't working, I want to hear, let's punch up these titles for these segments.
All right.
This segment is called Chronological Mascot Breakdown.
I mean, if you say it that way every time, then absolutely, that's perfect.
I want to run you down, Paul F. Tompkins, from when you were a little bitty baby till now. Let's start at the beginning with your mascot voyage through time.
Let me see.
You were born in
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes, I knew this. This is at risk, by the way, of violating some of your bank's security questions. I'm not. This is not a scam to get into your bank account,
Russia. If you're listening, here's what I can. My earliest memories are of maybe at a theme park, seeing somebody in a suit, like some sort of animal suit.
Sure.
There was a theme park near where we lived called West Point Park.
Okay. A lot of military guys.
No, it had nothing to do with the military. It was like a way off brand theme park.
Okay.
It had roller coasters. It had all this shit. I remember it had the flying swings that were over water. It was like over a pond or whatever.
Daring.
Very daring. Very thrilling. I remember my older brother and I, my older brother was significantly larger than I was.
Mm-hmm. But same age.
He's only older because he's bigger.
I think at a certain point when you're a kid, that does factor in.
For sure.
It's like, well, that kid's older than me because he's taller.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. We were allowed onto the, one of my memory was called the Salt and Pepper Shakers. It was a ride that it would be two capsules, right? One in the sky, one on the ground.
I know exactly.
And they would turn around and they would revolve as they turned. So like the little cab you were in would revolve.
Yes.
As you turned. Now, I was too small to go on this ride.
Of course.
I should not have been allowed on this ride.
I bet they let you in though.
They let me in. And what was happening was when we would turn, my brother, who was probably also too small, but bigger than me, would slide over and crush me against the side.
I feel like I have the same story.
Why did they let it happen?
Because it's only going to turn one way.
Yeah.
I believe.
I think it would turn the other way, but it didn't.
Once it started turning, though, because I have a younger brother who I am bigger than.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And once it starts turning, there's no real way for you to.
It only turned where he was crushing me. That's true.
I mean, maybe you could go the other way, but it seemed like whatever side had the weight on it was going to propel the thing to spin around.
And it was horrible. It was a horrible experience.
Because now you're making me remember being in the thing with my brother Colin and trying to brace myself against the wall to not crush him.
Right. So that was probably my earliest encounter with something that was a mascot,
but the
haziest memories,
right?
And then, of course, the Philly Fanatic. I'm old enough to remember the debut of the Philly Fanatic. I think it was the first time they'd had a mascot for the Philadelphia Phillies in decades, you know, if ever. I don't know.
Found out some things.
I bet you did, but the Philly Fanatic was and is great.
Yeah, I find the Philly Fanatic to be an all-timer.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's got bits. He's silly looking. He does silly things. He wastes food. He'll start clapping with a big box of popcorn. He'll like take somebody's popcorn and pretend to eat it and then start clapping and then he's throwing the popcorn all around. That's great.
Before we get into depth on the Philly Fanatic, did you have a school mascot like growing up? Did you have sports, youth sports, anything like that?
I went to grade school and we had a baseball team that I was on in eighth grade, no mascot.
But you weren't called like the Reds.
No, I don't think we had any. We were just our school name.
Like I played youth baseball and I was on the Athletics.
Right.
And we loved it because it was right in the Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Bash Brothers era. We loved being the Athletics.
We were just Holy Cross.
Oh. No mascot, no nothing.
Not even Jesus. You would think. And then
I wear the Holy Cross Lords.
We're the Holy Cross Crucifieds. And then in high school, our mascot was the Lancers, which was like a knight.
Sure.
But there was no physical guy.
How
it was just a drawing on the helmet.
Do you have any school pride? Did you have any sort of like, let's go Lancers or?
Kind of. I mean, I guess I could get swept up in that for the one or two football games that I ever went to.
Yeah.
But not really. I didn't really pay much attention to it.
Right. It's a tricky one because I know school spirit for me was always sort of like, I guess I'll do this, but if I was born half an hour away, I would be a wildcat whatever. Like it just never really.
I think I had it when I was called upon to have it for certain events or whatever. But in my memory, I don't really care that much.
Right.
But yeah.
And then did you go to college? I don't know this.
I briefly went to college.
You briefly went to college. Did you have a mascot for your college?
I stopped by college, Temple University.
And well, that was,
of course, the owls. Temple owls are everywhere.
Is that their motto
that's
or something?
That's their little
Temple
slogan.
Temple owls are everywhere?
Temple owls are everywhere, yeah.
In a creepy way?
Well, Bill Cosby. They're even in jail.
I feel like an owl is an underrated mascot.
I think owls are a great mascot. They have a great shape for a mascot.
They do.
Now, here's another one where I think because it's college, it's like a guy in a sort of furry or feathery person suit with an owl head.
Too anthropomorphized.
And a jersey. Too anthropomorphized. But I think an owl body and head, great shape for a mascot.
You should just do... Like, I don't know if you watched The Masked Singer.
I watched it a bit.
But the monster is just a blue, it's like a pill with an eyeball. I feel like the owl, you could get a good owl, because I feel like an owl just on a perch becomes this sort of, you know, pill shape. Almost with feet.
He'd be nice and round. Like, he's got a big oval head, right?
Yeah.
He could have, like, a nice fat belly.
But Temple University's probably
and
not.
And fun feet.
They're not rolling in dough to be redesigning their costume.
No. I also think maybe I'm wrong, but that I think of that shape when I think of college mascots.
Yeah.
Of, like, guy in a suit with a jersey.
We're doing the best we can.
Or with a furry suit. Yeah.
Yep.
We're doing the best we can.
Now, Christina and I did a raptor experience with birds, and the guy running it. He brought out the owl last.
Mm-hmm.
He did a hawk first, and he's like, these guys are cool, and this is a falcon, and he's really fast. He's like, owls are the killers.
Yeah.
They're stone-cold killers.
Well,
if you're a mouse and you're out in a field, you're not going to hear it coming.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel it. You're not getting away. Their claws are just going to dig in and never let go.
Yeah. Did you ever see that video?
It's crazy.
There was like a night cam video of an owl. It's like you see in the foreground a tree with two just some dumb old birds sitting there at night. And then you see this owl, but first you see its eyes,
mm-hmm.
like just these two glowing eyes in the distance.
Oh.
And then the owl swoops in, takes one of the birds and flies off. And the other bird turns around like, hey, where's my friend? He was just here.
I could watch owl videos forever.
Yeah, owls are fascinating. I just saw a video today of an owl running because, you know, they have really long legs.
I saw that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also a video of an owl sort of threading the needle between two people standing. Its wings kind of just tuck almost like a Tesla Model X where the doors kind of come, the gull wing
that.
Doors.
I want to see that. They're great.
Great stuff. Now, so.
And murderers, the staircase. If you're in North Carolina, look out.
Yep. And the North Carolina blow poles.
Blow pokes.
Blow pokes. That's right.
That's a good one.
Hey, blow poke.
Let's go, blow pokes. Let's go.
Paul, what's your current fandom situation? Are you a sport? I know you're a sports fan, and
yes.
I know it's a newish thing for you, but maybe people don't know that.
It's a thing that I returned to. I was a baseball fan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then when I started getting into comedy right after high school, that just kind of fell by the wayside. It was not like I was so into comedy and I was now in the world of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing open mics and stuff like that, that it was like, that was my entire focus,
right.
You know, was artistic, creative, whatever. And then, a few years ago, I want to say like 3-4 years ago, the Blue Jays were having a good season and I have a lot of Canadian friends.
Sure.
And so I would follow their enthusiasm online, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And they were so happy about it.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that looks like fun.
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, I could just get back into baseball if I want.
It's not going away I can tell.
Exactly.
So,
And so the next season I started watching from spring training. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Spring training is great because it's bonus baseball. Nothing matters.
Right.
You know, but you're also getting to know, new players that will end up sticking around.
Right.
Not everybody's going to stick around, but it's kind of fun to be on the ground floor of someone new to your team, especially somebody that's come up from the minors or something like that. And you get to watch that much more of their journey. And also, I mean, the baseball season is too long. And I say this as somebody who really likes baseball a lot.
Yeah.
It's too long.
No, it totally is.
But there is, if you watch all season long, you really feel the drama of it in the postseason in a way that You can still feel it not having watched all those games, but if you watch a ton of games and you're following your team like closely,
yeah.
In the, if they make it to the postseason, like you really feel that, you know, everything is like high stakes, life or death. You know, every single game is important, mm-hmm. and it's fun. It's really it's fun to be that invested in a thing.
And that passionate take that you have is really, for me, the thing that is sort of antithetical to the sports ball attitude of just there's so much drama built in if you are paying attention to the game.
Yeah.
Especially baseball. It's like guys, if guys are hot all year, you're just like, God, I hope he can stay that way. I hope he can keep hitting like this.
Yeah.
Or if a guy's in a slump and you've seen him come in and out of it, it's really fun to kind of go like, God, when it matters, is he going to be able to do this thing he's been doing all year?
Absolutely.
Or is he going back? Is it Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? There's all kinds of storylines. It's great.
And now, as a former sports ball person, like there was a time where I was like that. I get how if you're not into sports, it so takes over the culture.
Yo.
And you have there's so much that you have to listen to that you don't want to listen to, and it's mm-hmm. it's deemed more important than anything else.
Yeah,
and it is annoying. And there's a certain type of person that maybe is a fucking jerk, you know?
Yeah,
that yes. you associate with sports fandom, and it can be a drag. So it's like when that happens, when people are like that, and it was so funny to me when people started to be that way with me, when I would right. like tweet about baseball or something and somebody would give me that like, oh, sports ball attitude. I was like, this is funny. And I also feel like, go ahead. I mean, you know, sports is like such a gigantic industry
yeah.
that it can take people taking mild shots at it. You know what
or
I mean?
Big shots at
it. Yeah, well, but it's like, if you are, I understand where those people are coming from. If you are the type of person who was, if you were bullied by jocks or whatever, or if that was, if you were made to feel like an outsider because you weren't into sports, which people do, you know, I think that if you have a brain in your head and you like sports and somebody has that attitude, you can take it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You'll live.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to, but when I see people like kind of countering that with like, come on, just let people like what they like. It's like, okay, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. I guess like that, you know, you make me think about, I played hockey growing up and the culture I think is ultimately what made me leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of the culture being not so great for me.
Yeah.
And not being as good as I needed to be.
Yeah.
At the game and not having, because I think of the culture, I didn't really have any desire to improve and get better and stick around.
Yeah.
I wasn't jonesing for hanging out with these guys. You know, all of my friends were doing artistic stuff and it ultimately ended up making me have to choose.
Sports is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. And being on a team is a lot of pressure. And there's many different ways that a coach or a community can handle it. But I think that it's extremely negative and your self-worth is tied up in it. And it's so it feels like it's a very hard thing to get to for everybody involved to get to a healthy place of this kid is good at this. We should let this kid excel doing this. Mm-hmm. We should, you know, bring out the best in this person without it tipping over into a sort of monomania and forgetting that this is a child, you know, and that you can damage someone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But for life, if you tie up, if you get them to tie up all their self-worth in this thing, which even if you're lucky, extremely lucky, you only get to do for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You know? And you might be, man, you might be great at it and make it to the minors of whatever the sport is, or go through college and then that's it for you. Or, you know, it could one wrong turn of your foot can end your career.
Right.
So fast. And it's really like, I don't know. I feel my heart goes out to people who, have placed all their emotional eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Like that. But look, I mean, we're in fucking show business.
I was
like,
just going to say,
we're lucky.
Yeah.
We're lucky. Yeah. For everyone that doesn't become a gigantic superstar,
mm-hmm.
or gets out of the business, you know, when they're 25 because it's not what they thought they were going to be.
Right.
There's people like us who are like just working in show business,
yeah.
You know, who've managed to do it. And it's a weirdly almost impossible thing to like just have a going career
right.
in show business.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, As you get older, you can think about like, well, what would I do? Like if this, because it is a job where you find yourself thinking, well, that was probably my last job. I'll probably,
yeah,
I have not heard anything since last week. So I guess I'm done.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think you're so many interesting points. I think you're totally right. You make me think of a girl I dated in college who was a soccer player and was going to get scholarships, and she tore her ACL at a point when that was the end.
Yeah,
and just everything she worked for all the time suddenly was off the table, and she had to reset her personality.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about sports, I mean, we're way off mascots now, we're way into sports, but I think, you know, I've never thought that an athlete signs for too much money or a team is paying someone too much because they're not going to do it for the bulk of their life.
Yeah.
Most athletes can't go past 35, maybe 40, depending on the sport, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to get paid at a high level because people love the stuff. They love coming in. They love watching. They love the drama.
They also have to fight to get that money too.
Yeah.
Because I remember talking with a friend of mine who loved baseball until there was a baseball strike.
94?
I think it was the 94 strike.
Yeah.
And that killed baseball for my friend.
Mm, yeah.
And at first I understood where he was coming from, but because you think, well, these guys are millionaires and they want more millions. Like, when is enough enough? But then when you think about how much money people are making off of them,
yeah,
I get that. If you're in that situation where you're like, man, I don't know how long I can do this. Like I have a good idea. It's like when I'm 40 at most, I'm done.
Yep.
Like, depending on what position I play, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have lifelong pain no matter what. No matter what, I'm destroying my body.
I mean, these are two older guys talking about these issues.
Yeah.
At 19, you're not thinking that. You're thinking, I can't wait to buy my sports car and my house and all then, like, burn through the money because I'm invincible. Yeah.
But, like, when you think about how much money it costs to go to a baseball game, at the cheapest seats in Dodger Stadium it's still like $25, something like that.
Yeah, I'm even thinking like let's go to Detroit.
Right.
Where it might be $15. Yeah, you know, like, let's go to a small market. Yeah. Even then it's still
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
That's not nothing.
Yeah. And this is after they are taking baseball off of television to try to force people to go to the ballpark.
That's another thing
And then they're jacking up the fucking price.
Yeah. That's another thing that killed baseball for people. Like Christina's dad was a lifelong Dodger fan, and then he suddenly went, oh, I can't watch them on local TV.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out.
It's weird for me to think of a kid growing up and not being able to watch their local team.
It's insane to
me. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
It's like the most naked greed that you can imagine. It's horrible.
Well, let's stay on this train, Paul, and go to another segment. Hometown Heroes!
Yeah, HGH, baby.
Paul, you're from Philadelphia. You've brought up a couple of these mascots before. Philadelphia is a great mascot town.
There's a bunch.
Yeah, and I'm going to run them down, and we're going to try to sort of make sense of them, rank them. I do have a little mascot news for you out of Philly, too.
Oh, I think I know what this news is.
Okay, so RIP, one mascot that is gone is hip-hop. You almost spit water.
I did.
Are you familiar with hip-hop?
I am not. Rest in
power. Hip-hop was the Sixers mascot. Mm-hmm. It was just a man in a bunny suit. Here he is, photoshopped into a Nas
album cover. Oh, no.
Yeah, terrible.
That's what he looked like?
That was him.
That's not good.
So he was the mascot for the 76ers.
Oh, shit.
You can look him up on your device there.
Oh, my God.
But then there was a, I feel like there was a lockout. I read this stuff
before. Of just hip-hop?
No, I think there was an NBA lockout, and they said, no more. We're not bringing him back after this sort of break.
I think that was wise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sucks.
So he's gone, but I wanted to bring that up, starting with the Sixers.
No, he's got like weird fake muscles.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Then right after that, the Sixers did a mascot search. And their three,
they combed the country.
Their three candidates were Phil E. Moose.
What?
B. Franklin Dog. And Big Ben. So these are cartoon mock-ups. You can look these up. They're fun to look up.
I don't understand the moose. What?
There's nothing Philadelphia about a moose.
No.
No. Philly Moose.
That Ben Franklin is terrifying.
Yeah. How are you going to do that?
Like even just that drawing is bad. The dog would have worked.
The dog would have worked. Well, yeah. It turns out the dog did work.
But that's not what he looks like.
Is not what he looks like. The Philadelphia 76ers, a couple of years ago now, introduced Franklin, designed by kids for kids.
Oh,
I think this is one of the.
That.
I had no idea about this.
I have more respect for Franklin.
I think Franklin is really cute because I do actually, yeah. You know, I've gone to games with people who have kids and gone with the whole family.
Yeah,
God, the kids just love a mascot, yeah. And there's something about it because the kids don't have the attention span for a hockey game or a baseball game. Forget it.
Yeah.
But if there's a mascot out there, come on. These kids are going to be into it. So that's Franklin.
Franklin. Thank you.
Next up is Swoop, the Eagles mascot.
Okay. Now,
there he is. He's just a man in an eagle costume.
Here's the thing about Swoop. His name should be Iggy because the way that Philadelphia people pronounce Eagles is Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconscionable to me that his name is not Iggy.
I feel like just sort of on a local level, I feel like mascots are a conduit for ownership to tell fans, we get you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
I feel like the city kind of probably, I think if you did say, yeah, the Eagle's name is Iggy the Eagle, people would just be like, oh, that's us.
Yes, they would.
Unity.
I know they would.
Yeah.
Also, Swoop, it's not really a football term, is it?
It's an eagle term.
I guess it's an eagle term.
Because they swoop down.
Why isn't his name Ben? Do you know what I mean? Why isn't he Benjamin Franklin Eagle the third or whatever?
Because Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be the national bird.
That's true. That's very true. Oh, that would have gotten him back.
Yeah.
Like, how do you like it?
Take that, Franklin.
How about Baldy? That would be fun. It would be fun to call him Baldy.
Yeah, it would.
Here comes Baldy. Well, it's halftime, so here comes Baldy out to lead everyone in. Take me out to the football game. I don't know what happened.
There's really, I find football to be the sport that maybe doesn't need a mascot. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot to do.
Right.
The one thing you see on television football mascots doing is just standing under the goalpost when a field goal or extra point is kicked.
Right.
And they're doing a dumb dance.
Because they're
probably also running out on the field. I guess, you know what? I take it back. There's some instances of football mascotery that I enjoy.
Well, I would also say that because there's more action in football,
mm-hmm.
and more figuring out, like there's brief moments of action and then there's a lot of talking about the action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But baseball is extremely slow, so there's plenty of time to cut to a mascot roaming the stands and goofing around with people.
Well, let's go to baseball because next up is the Philly Fanatic. We've already talked about him a little bit. It's an all-timer. And curveball, Paul, this is the bit of mascot news.
Mark, you tricked me.
In, let's see, what's the guy's name? I'm sorry, I didn't want to be reading articles on the show. The team owner was told by the designer of the Philly Fanatic that for $5,200, this is back in 1977, the design would cost $5,200 for both the costume and the copyright ownership, or $3,900 just for the costume, with Harrison and Erickson retaining the copyright. Those are the people who designed it. The owner chose just to buy the costume. And so this year, the creators of the Philly Fanatic are suing because the copyright is, I guess, like the deal is expired.
Wow.
And there's a whole thing that goes back to Jazz Bear of the importance of, oh, hey, I'm the one who developed the Philly Fanatic dance, and I'm the nobody spilled popcorn all over before me. Sort of the intellectual property.
Right.
Or am I thinking of the right word? The intellectual, what am I thinking of?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, all of the stuff that the mascot does has nothing to do with the costume. So they're in court right now. We're not sure if the Philly Fanatic is going to be the Philly Fanatic anymore. The creators want to say that he is a free agent, that he can go to another team.
Oh, I mean, that would break my heart.
It would be wrong.
Yeah.
He's from the Galapagos Islands.
Of course he is.
And he's the Philly's biggest fan.
Yes, that's right.
And so he can't go anywhere.
He's a large furred lizard.
He's great.
He's the Philly Fanatic is so funny, legitimately funny.
Yeah.
I absolutely love him. I really do.
I really do. It's made baseball and mascots are peanut butter and jelly for me.
Yeah.
They go together so well.
Absolutely.
I'm sad. I mean, we're in LA. The Dodgers don't have a mascot.
That bumps me out. I wish we did.
I mean, there is the little Cupid doll kid. There's sort of a kid with a spit curl or something.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm sure I'll talk to a Dodger fan who's all about it.
But you
never see them out on the field dancing around.
No, never. I think that we deserve a mascot, and I think that there's so much, especially because the Dodger name is left over from when they were in Brooklyn. I think that it would be great to design a mascot that has something that somehow captures a Los Angeles thing. You know what I mean? I think it would be a cool thing. And it would just
It's hard. It's a hard one.
But
just make a weird monster and you're good.
We're talking about Gritty now.
Yeah, we are. Let's move to Gritty.
Late in the game, right? He's one of the most recent mascots.
He's new. He's almost brand new.
Yeah.
He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Googly eyes, orange fur.
Big smile.
The Flyers hockey mascot.
He's great. They hadn't had a mascot in ever? I don't remember.
They had a mascot named Slapshot, but it lasted one season. And that, it doesn't even say what it was. So
I will say this.
I think Gritty is great.
Gritty is fucking great. When Gritty first debuted, they first put pictures out online. People were saying, oh, what a nightmare. Why did I have to see this? This is scarring my eyeballs forever. And I was like, you fucking assholes. Can we swear on this? This guy is great. He's fun. This is first day, Mark. First day. This guy is great and fun. It's hard to come up with a new mascot. He's great. Of course, you haven't seen it. Like, new mascots are very rare. Of course, this is going to be your first reaction because it's the internet and everything.
Yes.
Like, they're supposed to look like that. And then people embraced him, and I was, but did I say I told you so? Not until now.
Great looking mascot.
He's great looking, and he's funny. He's got bits, too.
Yeah, oh, he's got a ton of bits.
And he does a lot of local stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, there was some, whatever event they were trotting him out for, and he was in a tuxedo. And he had a sign that said, and, you know, they have, like, a way that he communicates, which is almost like an internet dog, you know,
where, uh-huh.
He had this sign that said, it pronounced Wooder, W-O-O-D-E-R. And then there's a great gif where he just like tosses it aside and he shoots a confetti gun. It's great. He's great.
All right. So based on the current day situation in Philadelphia, let's rank Philadelphia's mascots.
Absolutely.
Let's start at the bottom and go to the top.
The bottom, I got to put Swoop.
Yeah, I think Swoop. Maybe I haven't seen enough of Swoop. But
I know I haven't, but I got to put somebody at the bottom, and it's going to be Swoop.
Yeah.
Then
maybe he's 3B. Or she. We don't know. Maybe Swoop is a lady eagle.
It's very true.
Are lady eagles more fierce than male eagles? Probably.
Probably.
That happens in the animal kingdom.
Yeah, they got to throw up food.
I feel like I know who's next.
Franklin.
Franklin the dog.
I love the detail that he was designed by kids.
The heart behind it is great.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It absolutely makes me look at that costume in a totally different light, in a much more welcoming light. And yes. I think he's adorable.
Yeah. Good story behind that one.
Good story behind that one.
Okay.
Gritty.
Yeah.
Gritty. He's great. He's a new guy. He's fantastic. He already feels like part of the fabric of the city.
Yeah.
But man, number one, it's got to be the Philly Fanatic.
It's got to be the Philly Fanatic.
Got to be.
It's an all-time mascot.
Yeah, all-time. And seeing them together, when they do stuff together.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very special.
So it's, Mark, it's very special. It is.
Folks, this has been Hometown Heroes.
We didn't even get into the Philly Fanatics friend group.
Oh, I don't know that we have time, but we do have time for what I'm calling Japanese mascot game.
Here we go.
Paul, last year I traveled to Japan. I was lucky enough to meet Chris Carlier, who runs Mondo Mascots on Instagram and Twitter.
Such a great account. Chris is, I've talked to Chris online. He sent stuff to Threedom.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
I would dare to say friend of the show.
How about it?
There is an episode of this show where I interview him.
How about it?
So, look, we've been talking about very specific sports mascots.
Yeah, let's cut the shit.
I would like to cut the shit.
This is a segment called Cut
the Shit. If you know me, you know I need a segment called Cut the Shit. Japanese mascots are just a totally different thing. And if you're not familiar with the Japanese mascot, it's one of the inspirations of me wanting to do this.
It's mind-boggling.
Because it is another world.
Yeah.
It is fascinating to me.
It's another universe.
It's two universes on top of each other. Paul, here's how the game works. I'm going to hand you a piece of paper. It has a picture of a Japanese mascot on it.
I'm so excited.
I would like you to take 30 seconds, because this is an audio medium that we are doing right now.
Yes.
But mascots are so inherently visual.
Yes.
30 seconds, hair on fire, intensely describe this mascot.
Love it.
To the listening audience.
I'm moving things out of the way so I can grasp the paper
and then
more quickly.
I do have two, so if you want to do two, we can do two, but I just figured we would do the one and see how it goes. I've not tried this. This is our first episode.
Now, this is all I do is describe the mascot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when the 30 seconds are over, we're going to try to guess the identity and purpose of this mascot.
Now,
okay. So
people know, in Japanese culture, there's a mascot for absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Every business has a mascot. Different safety campaigns have mascots. Mm-hmm. Grocery stores.
If you listen to the episode where I interview Chris, we go to this store and it's the Gunma province. Mm-hmm. No, that prefecture. That's what
prefecture.
It's called.
Right. Yeah.
And they have a mascot, and I just couldn't understand what it was about. And then it dawned on me, it's like, oh, this would be like if in Washington, D.C., there were 50 different stores that sold 50 different things from all the states.
Right.
And each state had their own mascot.
Right.
But this goes down to like cities.
Yeah.
Businesses in the city, parts of cities.
Mm-hmm.
It is bonkers. And I hope it never stops.
I can't believe, I've been following that account for a long time now and have rarely seen the same mascot twice.
I don't think you ever will. All right, Paul.
Yes.
I think this is our winner right here. So I'm going to hand you this piece of paper. Let me get my stopwatch ready. And then you'll have 30 seconds to describe.
I'm very excited.
This mascot. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
All right. This looks to be, he almost looks like a chimney. It's a sort of brick fellow with two tall chimneys. And then in the center, he's got a kindly old man face.
15 seconds.
He's got a mustache and like a pince-nez glasses. There's some writing on the side.
10.
I can't understand what it says. He's got two little hands and little feet, little legs and feet in sandals.
5.
And
colors. What color are we talking?
Well, like classic brick colors. He's like,
that's
he's,
it. Time. Paul, take a breath.
Okay.
Catch your breath. Look over the picture again.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a guess. What do you think? Who do you think we're looking at? What do you think they're doing?
I'm going to say, I think he is the mascot of a specific region.
Uh-huh.
That is known for chimneys.
A region known for chimneys.
Yeah.
No, Paul, I'm sorry. You're not right. That you're looking at a picture of
thank you for not saying I was wrong.
You're not fully right, but you're not fully wrong. This is Hansharon. He's the Hansharon is the friendly old guardian spirit of Japan's first reverberatory furnace built in Saga City. In 1850 to make steel. Now, if you'd like a shot at redemption, I have a second Japanese mascot. So remember, 30 seconds to describe what you're looking at. Colors, textures, facial expressions, features, all of that stuff. Okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Your time starts... now. Let's reset it.
All right.
Go.
This is like a white blob. He's got two big eyes and looks like a chicken beak and two red spots on his cheeks.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
He has sort of what looks like gummy worm arms that are red and sort of sparkly. They look like they have sugar on them. And then he has little white legs with green boots.
10 seconds.
Boots, and he's got a backwards baseball cap on.
5.
All right. And the texture is he's very smooth. He looks like sort of a cloud almost.
That's time.
All right.
All right, Paul, catch your breath.
Yeah.
One more look.
This guy is like,
who do you think we're looking at?
Man, oh man. Here's a thing that I remember about Japanese mascots.
Mm-hmm.
They are often weird combinations of things.
You're right. They are.
I think this guy's a chicken and a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain his arms or his hat, but I think he's a chicken in a cloud, and I think he is to remind people of chicken safety.
No, I'm sorry. You're not correct.
What?
That's not correct. This is a picture of Hatton, a spilled bowl of soup. He's the mascot for Tomei City, Japan. Spilled bowl of soup.
Why is there a city mascot of spilled bowl of soup?
Their mascot is a mistake.
Are they known for spilling soup?
I don't know. Are they earthquake prone?
Oh, my God.
Folks, this has been the Japanese mascot game. Our thanks to Chris at Mondo Mascots for just providing the world with delights.
Man, oh, man.
Paul, what would your personal mascot look like?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know if we've discussed this.
We haven't.
But, you know, I feel like my name does not fit me.
We have talked about this.
Yeah.
Would you say Daryl?
Daryl?
I know it's not Daryl.
It's not Daryl.
It's like, it's absolutely not Daryl.
It's absolutely
not. If it's not Paul... Daryl's way.
If it ain't Paul, there ain't no way it's Daryl. I think that my name should be Dennis J. Peacock. And so my mascot, the Paul F. Chongwitz mascot, would be Dennis J. Peacock.
Sure.
And it would be an extremely dressed up peacock.
Mm-hmm. To the nines or to the tens?
Oh, to the tens. Yeah. We're talking.
To the 10.5s?
No, I mean, you know, I still want regular people to enjoy them. This is a peacock wearing, I'm going to say, a black tailcoat with a white tie and white vest, white tuck shirt, of course. Definitely a top hat with an additional peacock feather coming out of the hat band.
I love it.
He's got little black shoes with spats, a la Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a monocle. I'm going to say he has pince-nez, like our old friend, the spirit of the refurbatory.
Hancheron. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, and white gloves.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he has hands.
Yes.
Okay.
He has arms and hands. Yeah.
Well, folks, if you have artistic flair and you want to draw up Dennis J. Peacock. What's the J stand for?
Just fabulous. It's always the F in there too.
Secret F. Who doesn't love a secret F?
Right. Oh yeah.
Paul, we're wrapping up here.
Mark, this has been an absolute delight.
Look, I am delighted as well. We're off with a bang. I'd like to give you an opportunity to do some plugs, but for every plug that you do for yourself, I'd like you to do a plug for someone else too. A thing that you like, a person that you think people should check out, a show, a song, a movie, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can also choose to say, I don't have any plugs. But if I know you, there's a plug.
I'm going to combine
my
plugs.
Got it.
And say, you can see me briefly in the second season of a show that I dearly love, the dearly departed, Lodge 49.
Okay.
This is a terrific show that ran for two seasons on AMC. They did not pick it up for a third season. It did not find a home anywhere else. But I think right now, as of this recording, you can find it on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrific show that I think did not get enough love. And it was a thrill for me to essentially do a cameo in one episode.
Got it. I love it.
I love you.
Paul, I love you too. I want to thank Earwolf. I want to thank Stitcher Premiums. And I want to thank my guest, Paul F. Tompkins. Paul, I don't have a way to get out of this thing. We're at the end.
We all go out the same way eventually.
Through a fur costume.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.